Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Major General James Jackson, Commanding General, U.S. Army Military District of Washington. Joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Brian Dixon.
General Jackson, I'm aware that the Military District of Washington is also playing a leading role in helping the Army improve its technology infrastructure and to develop more standard approaches to using information technology. Can you talk a little bit about your efforts in this area?
The Pentagon has decided to take the lead and to develop a program to do all those things you mentioned. Our part is to kind of be the test bed or be a laboratory to take some of their ideas and actually put them into place and see how they work. We're a relatively small command, as Army commands go, and so we can do that with a fairly small overhead, and we can see if it works. The whole purpose behind it is to try and make our organizations more effective, more efficient, by using not only common business practices, but also technology, by re-engineering the current technologies to give us the ability to get to information that is important and critical for us to make better decisions. And we're doing things like remoting our servicing capability for our computers. We have that capability now to basically reach into a computer and fix a software problem without ever having to send a service member down to touch the machine. It can be done from a remote site. Looking at consolidating our information techniques, our ability to store information in the databases so that it makes it available for more people to get to, so that you, one, know that information is available so you can go retrieve it quickly and make it go. And it's just a matter of trying to take all these tools and make them available to the decision makers.
People who are technologists often talk about the introduction of technology changes organizations. In many ways, they say that they get rid of the middle managers, they flatten the structure because they're able to do the kind of things you just described. And I'm curious, can you imagine that happening to the Army? It somehow seems counterintuitive to think that a structure that has lasted so long in history would change.
I guess I've learned over my 30 years is don't ever say never, because you'll probably be bit after a while. I think those kinds of changes are worth looking at and exploring. I think the Army has got ways to improve itself, and this may be one of them. My only caution would be we need to look at it and address it, and if we think it's going to work, then we move ahead. And certainly our civilian and military leaders are taking a look at these things. I know General Shinseki is working hard to do what he's calling the transformation business, to transform the Army into a different organization that can better meet the nation's needs. You know, if you don't change to adapt or adapt to the environment you're dealing in, sooner or later you're going to become inconsequential or superfluous, and you'll go away.
What might be some of those differences? Is that, I mean, different ways that the members of the Army do their jobs? Would it mean different type jobs? What?
Oh, I think both those, certainly. Obviously, there's many different ways to accomplish the same role, and we should be looking for ways that are more efficient and more effective all the time. Some jobs will go away. We've got new jobs today that weren't around 30 years ago when I came in the Army. One of the little vignettes I tell my people is just the PCs, the personal computers that we're dealing with today. There weren't any in the Army in 30 years ago. And today, when I'm standing in front of a big group, I ask them, is there anyone here who does not have a PC on your desk? And no hands go up. So that has affected the way we move information. I mean, email has taken away the old buck slip, the handwritten note. Very rarely do we do that anymore. Now, I do some because it carries a little bit added weight sometimes. But the point is that the routine way of transferring information now has become the computer. Just take a look at your own organizations and ask yourself, what happens when the computer goes down? What if the system breaks? You find out you're all of a sudden got lots of spare time on your hands, because a tool has been taken away that you become very accustomed to. And so that has changed. And that's just one example, which is not necessarily a big one, but it's been one example that has reached out and touched almost everybody in the military.
There's still talk about the coming wave of retirements of individuals in government. Is this a challenge to MDW?
I don't think so. We've been having people retire in the military for many, many years. In fact, it comes to all of us sooner or later. And we have procedures in place to deal with that. We have incentives, and we retain the people that we want to retain and that want to stay with us, and we have programs to do that. I think it's just the way we do business, and it's one of the things that we deal with every day.
Sir, is MDW heavily involved in recruiting and the retention of soldiers, and what are you folks doing to try to improve recruitment and retention?
Overall, recruiting has been a good story for the Army, although I personally, my command does not get involved in recruiting initial entry soldiers the first time people coming in. My understanding is the Army is doing well and across the board, and in the area of retaining soldiers, my command does do that, and we're doing very well. At this point in time, we're about 117% of our stated goals up to this point in time. And we have a variety of different ways we deal with that in the way of incentives, some monetary incentives, college education that can be provided through the GI Bill, training choices. And the one that seems to pop up most readily in our command is the option to reenlist to stay where you're at. And about half of our reenlistments, the retention of soldiers, comes in that category, which means people pretty much happy with what they're doing, and they're going to stay with us or try to stay with us longer. And so right now, that's all going pretty well for us.
Do you focus a lot on improving or maintaining a high quality of life for the soldiers as a means for ensuring high retention rates, and what kinds of things are you doing in that area?
We are doing things to affect the lifestyle of the soldiers. We've got some programs in place called Wellness, and a wellness program that is designed to look at how you treat the whole family as opposed to just the soldier. We need to recognize that if the soldier's going home upset or has a family life that's not doing too well, he's not going to be very good on duty.
What advice would you give a young person interested in the military?
I would ask them to stay in school, learn all you can, be as good a student as you can. Remember that you're going to go through high school like most of us once. Get as much as you can out of that. And then if you have a desire to come to the Army, get yourself in good physical shape. Keep yourself as morally straight as you possibly can. And step forward, but be prepared for challenges, and be prepared to face some things new in your life. And the Army will in fact bring those things out. But we look forward to bringing on every young able-bodied American citizen who wants to, and to serve. And I think there's a value added to every life that comes in and plays and participates with us, because there's things we can do for them that probably are fairly unique.
I've heard about two programs. Perhaps you could tell me more about them, Twilight Tattoo and Spirit of America.
Well, Twilight Tattoo is our summer program that occurs out on the White House Ellipse. We do it every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We're going to start April 17th, and we'll go to mid-July. And it's about an hour and a half, or a little over an hour show, and it's intended to basically provide the viewer a snapshot of what the Army has done over time and some of the assets that are available within MDW. But it's a historically based show that talks a little bit about the Army over the years, and then it also gives them an opportunity to see some of the more visible assets that are available to me and that we put on the show. Some music, it's all built around music. We try to build it with some of the more contemporary music, which is rather difficult for an old person like me, but I've got folks who help me with that. And so the intent is to reach out to young people and make it both an enjoyable but an informative event. Now, Spirit of America is really a large musical show that is done up in the MCI arena. We'll be doing that 26th through 29th September. And what it amounts to, it's a patriotic version of any kind of a show that you might see. And it's, again, designed around the Army and what kinds of things we've done or meant to the country and what the country means to the Army. And it's put on by all our soldiers. I mean, there's no professional actors there. These are our people who are taught how to do this. And we write the show from scratch and put it on. And it we were going to do it last year, but as you know, with the 9/11 events, it was decided that we would cancel that event. And so we're going to come back this year and hope that the public comes out and spends an evening with us or an afternoon with us, and hope they learn something and also hope they enjoy themselves.
Well, those certainly sound interesting, but I'm afraid we're out of time. Brian and I want to thank you very much, General Jackson, for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Major General James Jackson, Commanding General, U.S. Army Military District of Washington. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's interesting conversation. Once again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.